Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here in our midst. We gather here to set apart our heart and mind to focus on you today. This is your day. You set apart for us to rest in you. We ask your holy presence here so that we will be able to understand what you have to say, what you have revealed. Come into our mind and heart and our obedience so that we can glorify your Son's name. May the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you know a good person in your relationships, how would that person affect you? There is an article that describes simple traits of a truly good person. I have 15 lists here. Let me read it one by one. They are honest in relationships, and they compliment others when deserved, and they call their parents regularly. I'm sure that you are a good person. And they are polite. They are kind to everyone. They are generous with their belongings. They remember their manners. They think of others. They go the extra miles. And they are kind to loved ones. They smile. They make the best out of every situation. They make friends easily. They don't take things for granted. And they are consistent. So what do you think about this list? Have you met any person who has these traits of goodness in your life? I'm sure that you met at least one person if you are married. Even if you are single, possibly. If you have a good person to talk to or rely on in your relationships, your life can be very different. We have been talking about revival for the last few weeks or so. In a sense, revival is to meet God in a revolutionary way. Revival is less a phenomena or an event than meeting and experiencing God in a new way, to the extent that our lives will change. So transformation and revival is the outcome of experiencing God in a very fresh way. At the core of who God is, there is goodness of God. I'd like to introduce a person that can be your best friend and whose name is God. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a pastor in London for many years, he said this: "Do you feel burdened and weary and tired? And are you unhappy and perplexed? Do you sometimes find yourself full of doubts and uncertainties? Do you find Christian life a hard one and even a grievous one? And if you do, it is because you do not know God." I think he's a little bit blunt, but I believe what he meant is that knowing and experiencing God who is good can truly transform our lives. Thus, revival reality would be taking place in us so that we can live being set free from worries and anxieties and fears and distress in our life as we realize God is with us and in us always. So we need to understand and experience God, especially His goodness today. So today's topic is, God is good. In what ways is God good to you and to us? The English word good is actually derived from God. God is good and good is God. They just take one, adding one more word, all in God makes God is good. Good is God. Amen? God is good. So in what ways is God good? We are going to find the answers to this question from the life of Moses. If you will, would you please turn with me to Exodus 33. We are going to read verses 18 through 23. By the way, you need to pick up a sermon outline so that it can help you to follow through. And bring that sheet next week for Bible study. So Exodus 33, 18 through 23, here is the word of God. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself, and also on the screen, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I put you in the cleft of the rock, and cover you with my hands until I have passed by. Then I will take my hands away, and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses' desire was to see God's glory. Even though he spent days and nights in Mount Sinai for 40 days to talk to God and hear from him, and he got God's Ten Commandments through his wrestling with him. And yet, he has more desire. He wants to see God's glory. But Moses' desire to see God's glory, if it was fulfilled, it means the death of Moses at the very moment to see God's face. As God says in verse 20, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. What God is saying is this: because he is so holy and absolutely so holy and separated and absolutely separated from all his creation, no mortal man can be exposed before him without covering. We have a very bright day in Texas. In Texas, the sunlight is so bright and strong that it can make your eyes blind if you were to stare at the sun maybe for a minute or even more. Do you know that? Don't try that. I don't want anybody blind. But if you were compared to God's glory with the sunlight, God's glory is much, much more strong and intense and bright, that we would die if we are exposed to God's face without any covering. And that covering is Jesus Christ, by the way. Only through Jesus Christ we can face God, but without his covering, we'll be a dead man right there, or dead woman right there, when you see God's face. So God could have exposed Moses to his face as he desired, and then Moses would have been a dead man right there. That would be the simplest way to handle the situation, as God is capable of doing that. Would he not? He could have done that. But God didn't. Instead, God made a provision for Moses. God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and covered Moses with his hands while he was passing over Moses so that Moses would not see his face. And then God took away his hands and let Moses see his back so that Moses did not see God's face and lived. That's exactly what happened in this episode. It's a very interesting episode, isn't it? From this episode, we are going to develop four things about God's goodness. First thing I see from this scene is this: God is good as he listens to our inquiry. God is good because he listens to our inquiry. You know, Moses' request could have been dismissed as soon as the request was made. You know, God could have said to Moses this way, "Moses, you have no understanding of who I am. Your request to show my glory, my face to you is totally absurd." But God didn't dismiss Moses' inquiry. Rather, he took it. And no inquiry to God is unworthy to him. God is listening to you and to me. He loves if we ask questions to him, if we pray to him, if we make our request to him. He is interested in our curiosity about him. And he would be truly excited to hear from us. No question to God is regarded trivial to him. He's willing to engage with you and me if we choose to do so. A while ago, I was on the plane to sit behind a father and a girl. I believe the girl was maybe 3 years old. And this girl was full of curiosity about everything, virtually, and kept asking tons of questions to her dad. I don't recall, you know, most of her questions to her dad, but I remember some of them. If I recall, some of her questions, they would be like this: "Dad, why lion has a lot of hairs? And why eagles are bald? And why monkeys look like us? And why sky is blue?" And she kept going on and on and on and on. And, you know, her dad did not dismiss any of these questions. And instead, her dad explained each of her questions, you know, in such a way, with patience and kindness, that she'd be able to understand. So I was amazed, you know, his kindness and his love for her daughter. Isn't this the picture of God who is good? You know, I think that's exactly the picture. God loves to listen from us. When you have a lot of questions, he would love it, and he would be more than happy to answer those questions to you. If you look at Psalm 66, verses 19 through 20, Psalm 66, let's turn to Psalm 66, 19 through 20. "For certainly God has heard, he has given heed to the voice of my prayer. And blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me." You know that David wrote a good portion of Psalms, probably two-thirds, if not more, had been written by him. And I believe David knew God who is good, as he's willing to listen to him. And that's why he wrote so many of his prayers and petitions in Psalms, so that we can read his prayers. Because he was banking on God who listens to him and he answers his prayer. If you look at 5:15, let me read it for you. 5:15, "If we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him." So your prayer life reflects how much you understand the goodness of God, who is the greatest listener. That's why I think prayer and time go together. You cannot separate time to pray and what to pray. And our prayer life reflects how much we understand about God's goodness, who is willing to listen to all our concerns and prayers. And there is nothing we cannot ask God. He would be more than willing to listen to all our prayers as he hears you, and as he hears you, and more often than not, we have what we have asked for, as 1 John 5:15 says. He may not always answer at the right time frame that we want, but more often than not, he answers the most of our prayers according to his plan. And some of the prayers, we may think that God didn't answer, but we don't know, because sometimes we don't even know that God has answered our prayer. Another picture I saw from this episode is that God lowered himself at the level of Moses. And this is my second point. God is good as he's willing to be at our level. God is good as he is willing to be at our level. This is about the humbleness of God. God is a truly humble person, most humble person in the whole universe, because he is a creator and he set everything, and yet he lowered himself to our level so that he would be able to communicate to us. And this is not easy. And God doesn't have to be at our level at all. But true God from the Bible is such a humble God who lower himself to be at our level so that we will be able to understand what he's saying. My kid loves superhero movies like Thor. I don't know how many Thor movies, and Avengers and Captain America and so on. But I'm not very excited about such kind of movies. It's all the same story. And most of the time I fall asleep. When they ask me to go to watch such kinds of movies with them, I have some reservations. I know that I'm going to fall asleep, but I would go anyhow with them to watch such movies with determination to accommodate their need, because they love my presence somehow. But it takes an extra effort from my side to be at the level of my children. But here in this episode, God is granting Moses' desire by making himself lower at the same level as Moses. That is neither easy nor automatic. As a father to my children, sometimes it's not easy for me to accommodate and to be at their level. I find it's not that easy. How much more for God, who is the creator? He owned the whole universe, and to be at our level, actually that's not easy from God's standpoint, but God does that. So let us get ourselves immersed into this truth. God is good as he's willing to be at our level for a while. Let us think about Moses' life. From the age of 40 to 80, Moses was a shepherd in the land of Midian. He was actually a hired shepherd. He didn't own any of his flock. But he was tending his father-in-law's flock for 40 years. He committed a murder and ran away, and he hid himself all those years. He was ex-convict, so to speak. And he was a completely forgotten man. Nobody would remember the name of Moses, who once was a prince of Egypt. But it was God who broke this silence one day and talked to this man who was unworthy from the world's standpoint, who'd be interested in an ex-convict who murdered a man and fled away, and from worldly perspective he was just a shepherd. But Moses' life was turned upside down from that moment when he encountered God in the burning bush in Mount Sinai. The burning bush incident was a turning point for Moses' life. The totally purposeless life was turned into God-commissioned life with a clear purpose to deliver their people from Egypt and move them to the land of promise. God is good as he's willing to be at our level, as he did to Moses. Jesus is a symbol of God's humility. God became man. The Son of God put himself at our level so that he would be able to talk to us for understanding of God's revelation. You know, some people believe God should be unknowable, and or God doesn't care about us. That's deism. Deist hit hard in America. Many American forefathers were deists, by the way, Benjamin Franklin and so on. They kind of believed in God, but they said God is not involved in our, you know, day-to-day lives. He's just there. He doesn't care. But I don't think that's the true image from the biblical, the God that we know from the Bible. God is God as he is willing to be at our level. That's why God is good. God is good. Let's look at verses 18 through 19 once more. 18 through 19. And then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. This is a very interesting verse. Here, God is describing him as my goodness, all my goodness. I myself make all my goodness pass before you. So God is describing him as good. When Moses wanted to see God's glory, God was showing his character, his goodness. God's glory is God himself, and knowing God is knowing his character, especially God's goodness. So, essence of God's character is his goodness. That's why we can rely on him. We can trust in him because he is God. And revival is nothing but to see God's glory. And if we experience God who is good, that is the essence of revival. Revival is about relationship, getting into a revolutionary relationship that we never knew before, never realized how good God is. And understanding of that is actually the essence of revival. And God desires all of us to know his goodness. And knowing God and his goodness is for his glory as well. And he is glorified when we understand him in the right way he wants us to know him. Therefore, our supreme need of life is a knowledge of God's goodness and experience him in our relationships with him. And God is not it. God is he. A person we can know and we should know him. But look at the middle of verse 19. Middle part of the verse 19, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. It's very interesting, isn't it? God is so humble. He's passing over Moses, putting him in the cleft of the rock and hide his hands with Moses' eyes so that he can pass by. And as he passed by, he said, I will proclaim my name. And this name is the name of the Lord. The Lord is actually Yahweh. You know, Hebrew people did not want to pronounce God's name. That's why if you see L-O-R-D in all capital, that's actually Yahweh. So as he was passing by, he said, my name is Yahweh. That's what God is doing. So Yahweh is the name of God. God revealed to Moses. God said to Moses, I did not reveal this name to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now I'm revealing this name, Yahweh, to you. It's the first time God reveals his name to Moses. This name, Yahweh. So if you understand what Yahweh means, we understand more about who God is. I am. You know, Yahweh means Actually, B is neutral. It doesn't have a tense, IB. But a lot of people say it's I am because we cannot associate IB. That means ever-present God, self-existent one, who is transcendent of time. So people say God was, God is to come. All those things is the true meaning of Yahweh, self-existent God. And He was and He is and He is to come. And this God is ever-present, ever-present, and no beginning, no end. And Yahweh is the God who is everlasting, God of eternity, who defines time. So this is my third point. God is good as He reveals His name for our comprehension. You know, God can do all things. God Almighty, El Shaddai. God who heals, Jehovah Rapha. And there are many names of God revealed to us. But this name, Yahweh, or it's called Jehovah, or Adonai in the New Testament. Adonai is a Greek word that corresponds to Yahweh. You know, Jehovah, Adonai, the Lord. And He wants to reveal His nature to us, as He did to Moses. I am, I be, I was, I am, you know, I will be, is your God. You know, God wants us to understand Him. And this is only possible as God reveals who He is. That's why the Christianity is a religion of revelation. Actually, it's not religion. Religion is bottom-up. We try to find who God is from bottom to top. But we cannot know God from our own effort. That's why He has to reveal from top down. And the only task is to accept it, to accept what Bible has to say about God. And this is only possible as God reveals who He is. The name of God, Yahweh, bears the essence of who He is. As I said, everlasting God, ever-present God, self-existent God, the God of eternity. You know, when Moses understood this God, in one of the Psalms, Psalm 90, you know what he said? Give us wisdom to count our days. You know, before this God who is eternal, Moses realized that his life is nothing but a breath, because he realized who God is, who God is, you know, as His name reflects. And he asked for the wisdom to be able to count how many days our life, you know, has. It's a transient. He realized life is really transient. There's nothing but a moment. So he trusts in the Lord who has eternity set for him. And this God promised Moses that He would go with him and his people. And this God is with us, and He will never depart from us. Jesus' last word in the Gospel of Matthew, I am with you always. Jesus is claiming this name, I am with you always. Jesus is, I am. You know, I am the truth. I am the bread of life. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way. That's what Jesus claimed, reclaimed the name of God. The God of Moses, the great I am, came down on earth and He claimed that He is I am. And Jesus said, I was before Abraham was. He's transcendent. God did not leave us in the dark. He introduced His name, this most powerful name, to us so that we can trust Him and rely on Him and be strengthened by the nature that He reveals to us. And blessed be the name of the Lord, Yahweh. And Jesus once said, the kingdom of God is within you. You know what he meant? Kingdom of God is in our midst. That means King is with us. Jesus is with us. And Jesus said, I am with you always. The King of our life is with us and on us. So there's nothing in this life, actually, if we understand that, whom we shall be afraid. There's nothing. Nothing. You know, enjoy your life thinking about this God. When you have a lot of pressure in your work and whatever, and God is speaking to you and me, enjoy this life. You know, I am with you. I created this life for you to enjoy my presence for my glory. Don't be stressed out. And then speak to yourself, I want to enjoy my life in the presence of Jesus Christ. And change your perspective right there, and you can see different things. I was stressed out last week. I was away, and I was praying, and God said, you know, the same word. Just enjoy my presence. Be with me, and I will give you strength. So I just register that word of God in my mind, and then declare myself to my mind so that I would obey with his word. Let's look at the last part of verse 19. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. This is the last point. God is good as he promises his grace and compassion to his people. God is good as he promises his grace and compassion to his people. God knows our sins. Before God, we all fall short of his glory. And Psalm 51:3, David says, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. My sin is ever before me. He always realized his sin. And God could have condemned all of us, sinners, before him. But he didn't. Why? Because of his grace and compassion. He feels sorry for our human condition, our depravity, and our sinfulness. And God is aching with our sins, by the way. This is his compassion, his mercy. God's mercy means God takes pity on us because we are sinners. And out of his mercy, he did not send us to eternal judgment, which we deserve, which he could have. He could have done that. But because he feels sorry, he's taking pity himself on us. So he didn't do that. He saved us from being sent to eternal hell. That's his mercy or compassion. So we are saved from eternal condemnation. Instead, God sent his son to bear the condemnation of our sin. And he became our sin so that we would avoid the pending judgment of God in faith. Only by believing in Jesus Christ who died for us, we are exempt from going to hell. But there's more. God's grace. God's gracious. Not only out of God's mercy, he saved us from pending judgment. Now he granted us this eternal life, which is gift. Gift of God. Gift of salvation. And hope of eternity as a gift. So not only he saved from pending judgment, now he moved us from here to have the hope of eternal life and life eternal that we can enjoy even now. That's God's grace. So God is good as he promises his grace and compassion to his people. You know, Ephesians 1:5, I want you to look at. This is very important. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to his kind intention of his will. That's what it means here. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be compassionate on whom I will have compassion. You know, God predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ is the key word. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, they are the one who receive God's grace and mercy and compassion. God is not saying general statement, I'll be gracious to everybody, I'll be merciful to everybody. God is not saying that. God is saying, those who believe my son will receive this gift of grace and mercy that will follow you for the rest of your life. You know, that's why we need to spread this gospel, because people without knowing Jesus, they are perishing. When tomorrow is the end of the day, they will go to hell. That's why I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I have compassion to whom on whom I have compassion, through Jesus Christ. And God is good. God could have sent all of us to eternal damnation, but God didn't. Those who trust in Jesus' name, God will be continue to be gracious and compassionate to all eternity. You know, that's why we are blessed in Jesus Christ. That's why we can lift the name of Jesus Christ above all names. That's the gospel. So, how can you know God is gracious and compassionate? By looking at Jesus Christ. That's the answer for us. Jesus is the epitome of God's grace and compassion. We cannot talk about God's grace and compassion apart from Jesus Christ. That's very important. So today, we look at four things. God is good as he listens to our inquiry. That means God is reachable. God is reachable. And God is good as he's willing to be at our level. God is truly humble. He's willing to be at our level. And God is good as he reveals his name for our comprehension. God wants us to know the truth about his nature. And understanding his nature, especially his goodness, is the essence of our spiritual revival. And God is good as he promises his grace and compassion to his people. In Jesus Christ, God's grace and mercy will follow you, will pursue you. His goodness and his mercy, his kindness will pursue you. It's not that we try to follow God's mercy and grace, but instead God's mercy and grace will chase after us. You know, that's very different, the connotation here. And Jesus is the ultimate manifestation of God's goodness. He is the image of an invisible God and firstborn of all creation. Since we cannot see God, God sent his son Jesus in human form so that we can associate him in a personal way. I think Jesus is awesome. Would you say that? You know, I think he's just awesome. Awesome man. I'm so thrilled to, you know, read what he did and what he says and how he lived. Just epitome of God's grace and mercy. And I just cannot describe with words how awesome he is. You know, divine became a human. He's epitome of humbleness. He was there before the foundation of the world with the Father and the Spirit. And nothing was created without him. Without everything was made by him and through him. And yet he made a decision to be just like us and came down. God's humility was truly manifested in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And this takes a huge degree of humility. By seeing Jesus, we see God. And Jesus lived in this world as we do and was subject to the same difficulties, trials, and temptations as we are. Yet, how different his life was. Why? Because he knew God, his Father, and he knew the character of his God, who is God. He was banking on the goodness of his Father, was able to be obedient to the point of death. He trusts God that he would resurrect him, but he had to go through this death. That would not be that easy, actually. Even if you know that his Father will resurrect you, but you have to die first. I think Isaac kind of experienced a glimpse of that. Isaac knew that his father is going to kill him, but he also knew that he's the heir of God's promise, so that he would resurrect it. That's why he was able to obey his father's action. But Jesus was the one who really went through the death. In spite, he knew that God's going to resurrect him, but he actually tasted death. But Jesus was banking on his Father's goodness, that my Father will make me live again, so that I declare that I was the Son of God truly, and the Savior and the Redeemer for all those who believe in me. Shall we bow our head for the moment? Has God been good to you? Would you close your eyes? Let's have some reflection time. Has God been good to you? If so, there are all the more reasons for you to continue to take your journey of faith with Him and with His goodness. His goodness will follow you for the rest of your life. And He will take you to your destination with all His kindness and faithfulness. He will continue to be good to you. And He will be gracious to you and compassionate to you, because He has chosen you in Jesus Christ as you believed in His name. And if you have not met this God of goodness, you can start today by trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, through Jesus, God will be gracious to whom He will be gracious. If you not have taken this Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, but today, somehow God is moving you, Spirit of God is moving you, and you want to take Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior for the first time, I want you to pray with me in your heart. God, I am truly sorry that I have not known you as the God who is good. And I confess that Jesus took all my sins. And I want to invite Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'll follow Jesus for the rest of my life, starting from today. In Jesus' name I pray. Heavenly Father, let true revival take place in this midst. Let Jubilee Church be presented as a living sacrifice that is acceptable to you. Father, help us to know you more and deeper. And give us wisdom to count our days. Our days are indeed short, like a breath. We are nothing but dust. Let us recognize the finiteness of our life. And let us realize that Jesus is the treasure of our life. Let Jubilee Church be the church that proclaims the name of Jesus, His grace and truth. And Father, save us. If there's anyone who hasn't been saved, save all of us so that we would be the community of God. And Father, may your name be lifted up. May the name of Jesus be lifted up above all names, and use us so that we be the church that bless the nations and raise up the next generations for your kingdom. Heavenly Father, the great I Am, be our best friend in our life. We commit all of this in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Yours is the glory.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you spoke the word to Moses and to us. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Thank you that you have chosen Jesus Christ so that whoever believes in his name would be your children on earth and in the kingdom to come. May the power of Jesus Christ live in us through the Holy Spirit, and let your glory be manifested through our life as we trust in you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.